1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We've been discovering a series at the end of the book of 1 Thessalonians, a series of exhortations that Paul wrote to these believers at the end of his letter to sort of sum up what it is that he has been writing to them. And he's been writing to a church that is really reaching out, a church that is also reaching within, and a church that is reaching up. That is, according to chapter number 1 and verse number 8, this was a church from which the Word of God was sounding out into every place. They were reaching out with the Word of God, and everyone in the area of Macedonia as well as Achaia was hearing about the gospel and about the Word of God from this church. They were reaching out, and they were also a church that was reaching within, according to chapter number 3 and verse number 12 and chapter 4 verses 9 and 10. This is a church that loved each other. And Paul writes to them and says there's no need for him to tell them to love one another. He's already taught of God. And they were loving one another. They were reaching within their own fellowship and loving one another with God's kind of love. And they were reaching up. And what I mean is this, according to chapter 4 and verse number 1, they were walking with God. And matter of fact, they were walking in a way that pleased the Lord, the Bible tells us, and Paul writes about in chapter 4, verse number 1. That's the kind of church that this was. And it looks like that Paul is writing to them for the purpose of encouraging them to keep on going for God, to keep on reaching out and to keep on reaching within and to keep on reaching up and not to stop, not to give up, but to keep on going for God. And he's trying to encourage them so that they won't get discouraged, so that they won't get distracted, and so that they'll keep on for the glory of God and not run out of gas and become what you and I have discovered to be and said to be, a sideline Christian. And that is a Christian that's ran out of gas, that is spiritual gas, and is sitting alongside of the road and not going anywhere. And so Christians can run out of gas and find themselves on the sideline and not serving God, not loving God, not loving each other, and not being what God designed for them to be and what God gifted them to be able to be. Paul doesn't want that to happen to them. So he writes this letter, and he writes a lot on a lot of different topics for the purpose of encouraging them and helping them to continue to go for God. And when you get down through the end of the letter, then he makes this series of appeals, of exhortations, and as though he's applying in a practical kind of way all that he's been writing to them about in this letter. And we've been looking at a couple of those appeals. For example, you and I looked at verse number 20 where he said to despise not prophesying. And we discovered that prophesying is the proclamation of God's revelation. And that is, when God has revealed truth and that truth is proclaimed, that you and I should not despise that, which means to treat it as not important. But we ought to value that. That is, the proclamation of God's word is something that you and I should value above everything else. And if we don't, if we don't do that, if we don't value the proclamation of God's word above other things and place it as a real priority in our lives, then we could run out of spiritual gas. We could find ourselves someday as a sideline Christian. The second thing, the second exhortation we've been spending a little more time on is the one that is found in the first phrase of verse number 21, where we find that the apostle appeals to us and to the Thessalonians to prove all things. And we've been discovering that this little phrase, prove all things, the word proved there is the idea of testing or examining all things. That is, the appeal to us, the exhortation to us, is that we need to be testing, we need to be examining, we need to be taking a careful look at everything. And then the context, what he's talking about, is we need to examine all things for the purpose of finding out whether it is good or whether or not it is bad. We need to examine everything to find out if it's true or if it's false. We need to be taking a look at everything to examine it and find out whether or not it is right or it is wrong. So we need to prove all things. Now, this is a basic general principle for life, isn't it? And we sort of understand this principle, all of us do. As I've mentioned many times, when you go many times to purchase something, you may test it out. You may want to find out if it works or not. It's kind of like when we go shopping sometimes for toys for our grandkids. And sometimes those little toys have something that you can reach up and push a little button on just so you can hear the sound that it makes. You want to check it out, right? And for us as grandparents, we try to find the noisiest thing, the most annoying toys we can buy, and then just let the parents have to deal with it. They always thank us for getting those particular toys. But they got a little test button that you can push and try it out and see if it's going to work right or not, and be and have the right sound or the right kind of toy that you think that you're getting. And so you try it out. You test it. You test a lot of things. You try on clothes. You try on shoes. You test drive cars. And we examine things many times before we buy them, before you buy an appliance. You may go to the store and you may look at it and see what it looks like and ask a few questions about it, and you may go online and check it out and see whether or not it has good reviews or not. We test things, don't we? We prove things. It is a general principle in life, and it's one that many of us know a lot about. So prove all things. But we know that Paul must have something more particular in mind than just our shoes, our clothes, our cars, and toys that we buy our grandkids. He must have something else in mind. And so when you begin to examine what Paul has written in his letters, and when you begin to examine the Word of God in general, you'll find out that there are some things that are really important when it comes to proving all things. Well, we should prove all things. There are some things that we would consider the priorities, those things that are really important. And that's what we've been looking at over the past couple of services, and that is trying to find out what it is. If we're going to prove all things, then what is it particularly that we need to test or examine and according to the Word of God? And here's what we've discovered so far, and that is, if you and I are going to prove all things, we must begin with the teaching that we hear. That is, it's obvious in the context of Paul's letters that one of the things that we need to examine is what it is that we're listening to. The teaching that we hear, whether it be the teaching that we listen to in the secular world or the teaching that we listen to as far as the Bible is concerned, we need to examine what it is that we are hearing. And we know that because he just got done saying, despise not prophesying. And that is, he's telling us, don't treat the proclamation of God's word as unimportant. You need to value that. But now he counters that by saying, but you need to examine it. And that is, when you hear prophesying or so-called prophesying, you need to examine and make sure before you value that, that it really is the Word of God. Because you see, there really are false apostles. There really are false teachers. So one of the things that we need to examine is the teaching that we hear. The second thing that we discover that we need to examine are the spirits that we encounter. We discovered in the Bible that Paul makes a close connection in the book of 1 Corinthians, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He makes a close connection between false teaching and demon spirits. You'll see it again in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. So we need to examine what it is that we hear, and we need to make sure and examine the spirits that we are encountering. As a matter of fact, it's John who says in 1 John 4 that you and I need to test the spirits. Examine the spirits, and that is, the devil and his demons are active in the world, and you may be experiencing demonic traffic in your life and don't know it, so test the spirits. So here's what we need to examine, and that is, we need to examine the teaching that we hear, we need to be proving or examining the spirits that we encounter, and then we just got finished looking at the salvation that we profess. And that is that we need to examine the salvation we profess. We found it in 2 Corinthians 13:5, where Paul encourages the Corinthians to examine themselves, to prove their own selves, to make sure that they're really in the faith, to make sure that Christ is really living on the inside of them, because Paul knew that it was possible, with the presence of so much false teaching, that it was possible for there to be those in the Corinthian church who professed to believe but weren't real believers, that professed to be saved but weren't really saved. So we spent some time in the last few services just looking at examining the salvation that we profess. That is, looking at the experience of conversion, looking at the indwelling witness of the Holy Spirit, looking at the evidence of a new life, and looking at the testimony of Scripture, looking at those four areas and asking ourselves, do I know for sure? Do I have it nailed down? Do I know that I know that I know that I've truly been saved? Listen, there's not anything more important than you and I examining ourselves and making sure that we know that we're saved. So when you read the Bible, here's some areas that we really need to prove or test or examine. And that's the teaching that we hear, the spirits that we encounter, and the salvation that we profess. Now, for those of you that know that you're saved, that is, you examine your life, That as you look at yourself, say, Pastor, I know for sure that I've had a real genuine conversion experience, that the Spirit of God is living in me, and I'm a new creature in Christ, and I got the testimony of Scripture to back all that up. I know for sure that I'm a child of God. Then you and I need to examine now the way that we live. That would be, ladies and gentlemen, number four in our list of priorities, the way that we live. I want you to listen to what we read in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3 and verse number 40. Listen to this verse that encourages us to examine, to test, or to prove our ways. Lamentations 3:40 says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." It's as though that the writer of the book of Lamentations is encouraging God's people in the Old Testament to stop and examine their ways. And there's an assumption in this verse that their ways aren't always right, that their ways aren't the right ways, and they need to turn back to the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I have a feeling that there are many who genuinely know the Lord, who've been born again, who've experienced Christ, that have some ways about them that may not just line up with God's way at all. We need to examine. We have to admit the possibility, do we not? Even those of us who are saved, that there may be some ways in our life, some ways that we're living that may not line up with what God says we ought to be living. You see, when it comes to the way that we live, we've got God's way and we've got man's way. Now, God's way is holy, isn't it? And it is right and it is good. But man's way is sinful and fallen and wrong. Before you got saved, you were living man's way. You were just following the desires of your own flesh. You were just doing what you were raised to do and the way that you were raised and following the desires of your flesh. But when God saved you, you became a brand new creature in Christ. Now the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. So now you got a choice of which way you're going to go, don't you? And that is that you can follow God's way or you can follow man's way. And they're going in the opposite direction. Listen, God's way is the way of the Spirit, and man's way is the way of the flesh. In Galatians chapter number 5, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the believers in Galatia, he distinguished between the two. Here's what he said. He says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You say, how could he say that? Because the Spirit is going in the opposite direction of the flesh. If you walk in the way of the Spirit who lives on the inside of you, if you walk in the way of the Spirit, you're going in the opposite direction of your flesh, of your sinful, fallen desires. Yeah, the Bible says in Galatians chapter number 5, verses 17 and following, that these two are contrary to one another. That is, the Spirit and the flesh. They're the opposite of one another. And that is that the Spirit of God is moving in one direction and moving you in one direction, and the flesh is moving you in another direction. If you follow the Spirit, you won't be following the flesh. If you follow the flesh, you're not walking in the Spirit. So you got kind of a choice here, don't you? And that is, you can walk in God's ways or you can follow man's way. All of us have that choice. And so we need to stop and examine ourselves, don't we? Look at ourselves and say, then which way am I going? In what way am I living? Is it God's way or is it indeed man's way? You see, Haggai, the Old Testament prophet Haggai, also along with the writer of Lamentations, encourages us to examine or to consider our ways. In Haggai chapter number 1 and verse number 5, it says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He says it again in verse number 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And I say to you today, that's what you and I need to be doing as well. That's what God is saying to us. And that is that you and I need to examine or prove or consider our ways. What way am I going? What direction am I going in? You see, when we talk about considering your ways or examining your ways, we're talking about the direction in which we're going. What direction is my life going in? What direction am I? Stop and look. What direction am I going in? Now, I know that some of you, you've got this direction thing down. What I mean is this. You know if you're going north. You know if you're going south. You know if you're going east. You know if you're going west. Now, some of you are so good at this that you even know if you're going northeast or northwest, southeast or southwest. I mean, you got this thing down. You got a real sense of direction. Until you get turned around. And every once in a while, you get that little panicky feeling on the inside of you, and you think to yourself, I'm not sure where I'm at. I'm not sure what direction that I'm going in. Usually it's in a strange place, and thankfully you've got instruments on your vehicle now that kind of gives you some direction about where you're going, or maybe if you have a phone that has that on there, and you can get direction, or your wife's in the car with you, and that's good enough too, isn't it? Yeah. But all that feeling of when you just say, you know what, I don't know what direction I'm going in. And all of a sudden your mind thinks, where am I at? And what direction am I going? Am I going in the direction that I need to go? Maybe you're traveling out west and you think, am I going in the right direction? I remember a number of years ago that Brother Greg and I were headed to Texas. Now, I don't normally go anywhere with Brother Greg, and there's good reason for that. And I won't tell you what it is, but some of you know him. So we were scheduled to lead a revival meeting in a church in Friona, Texas. And so I was going to preach, and Brother Greg was going to lead us in some songs. We were headed down there. We were driving. It was a long trip, 1,000 miles or so. It was a long trip. We drove. And we got somewhere in Oklahoma, and I can't remember where it was at now. And I was driving. I have to admit to you, I was driving. And I got off on the wrong interstate. That is, it was in Oklahoma City or somewhere. And I got off on the wrong interstate. So I had to find my way back around to the right place. So I was following all the signs. And it took me around what seemed like circles and circles and circles and little side roads and everywhere else to get back to the interstate that I wanted to be on. And I found myself a few times, but I didn't admit it to Brother Greg, and I'm glad he's not here today to hear this. A few times I'm wondering, where am I and what direction am I going in? I was afraid I was going to be back in Kentucky before long. Maybe you've been like that. Just that moment where you stop and say, what direction am I going in? What way am I on? I want to say to you, that's what the Bible is telling us that we should do. That is, in our life, we ought to have those moments, and this would be a good moment, to pause and just ask ourselves and look at ourselves and just say, really, what direction am I going in? Am I going in God's direction or my direction? When you and I consider that is the direction we're going, we have to take a look at the decisions we're making. The decisions we're making. Because that determines what direction we're going in. The decision we make now determines the direction we're headed in for a while. Just like driving down the road when you get on the interstate, you make a decision to get on an interstate, you're going to be on that at least until the next exit. And when you make a decision, that decision is going to determine the direction that your life is going to go in. So you and I have to stop, don't we? And ask ourselves, what direction am I going in? And we do that by looking at the decisions that we're making. Because that determines our direction. And by the way, the direction that we're going in that's based on the decisions that we're making is going to determine the destination we end up at. That is, we have to stop and ask ourselves, where do I want to be? What is my destination? If you want your destination to be a wrecked life, then you just make bad decisions and head in that direction. If you want your destination to be a godly example, a godly life, that people can look up to and respect. If that's what your destination, you want your destination to be, then you better start making the right decisions that get you in the right way to get to that point that you can have a godly life and be a good example so that others can look up to you and say, that's what I want to be. So that one day young men can look up at you men that are in this room and say, I want to be a man of God like that. But you'll never get there if you don't make the right decisions and go in the right direction. So the ladies that are here, so that other young women and little girls can look up to you and say, listen, I want to be a godly woman like she is. So that's what I want to be. You'll never get to that destination if you don't get going in the right direction, if you don't start making the decisions that have put you on the right way to living a life that ends up being a good godly example. You say, well, I'm not really sure which way I'm going. Then stop and examine your ways. Consider your ways. That is, look at yourself. Haggai says, consider your ways. Look at the direction that you're going in so that you can find out. Listen to what the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter number 7 and verse number 3, the prophet Jeremiah tells us, he said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. In other words, if you want to dwell in the land that God has prepared for you, he's talking to the Israelite people, if you want to be blessed and dwell in the land, then consider and amend your ways. You're never going to get to where you want to be if you don't. There's some things in your life that are pulling you in the wrong direction. Listen, believers, those of you that know you're saved, there are some things in your life that are pulling you in the wrong direction. Away from the direction God wants you to go and the destination He's trying to lead you to. That is a life of holiness and godliness and that God can use for His glory. There's some things pulling you away from that. Some things that you're involved in, some things that you're doing, some things that you're watching, some things that you're giving place to in your life. And so the prophet Jeremiah would say, what you need to do then is you need to amend your ways and your doings. You need to straighten that out. You need to go in a different direction. You need to find a way to get off of that road and get on the right road. Amend your ways. The psalmist writes a lot about the ways of God. Listen to Psalm 119, for example. In Psalm 119 and verse number 59, here's what the psalmist says. He said, I thought on my ways. I thought about my ways. And then turned my feet unto thy testimonies. You say, Pastor, if I've got some things in my life that aren't right, if I made some bad decisions... and I'm going in the wrong direction in some areas of my life, what do I need to do? What the psalmist said here, think about your ways. Stop and focus and think about the direction you're going in. And then turn your feet. I mean, if you're going in the wrong direction and you know that you are, why would you keep walking in that direction? That's what the psalmist is saying. Why would I keep walking? That is, if I know I'm going in the wrong direction, why would I keep walking in that direction? Turn your feet around and start walking in the right direction. That moment that you turn around, if you're going in the wrong direction, the moment you turn around and go in the right direction, for a believer, that's called repentance, isn't it? That's when you and I say, you know what, this is wrong, and I'm going to stop going in that direction. I'm going to go in the right direction. Whatever that might mean in your life, it may be something that is really, what we would consider to be something really big, some really bad, big decisions you're making, and you know it's wrong, and you decide, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to go in the right direction. Or it may be just something, for example, maybe just your prayer life is not what it ought to be, and you're giving more time to other things and other people than you are, than your walk with God, than your prayer life. Maybe you're just not walking with God, you're walking in the wrong direction, and you just realize it's wrong. You say, I'm going to stop, and you turn around, you start spending time with God in prayer. That is, you start walking with Him. Turn your feet, go in the right direction. And He tells us here in this psalm that the right direction is thy testimony. So I'm going to turn my feet to your testimonies, that is, to what God's Word says. That is what the Bible says. I'm going to start doing what God says to do in His book. You say, I don't know which way, I don't know what's the right way to walk. The book tells us, this book right here, the one that you have on your lap or that you have in your app, it tells you what direction to go and what decisions to make. And the psalmist said, listen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop walking in the wrong direction, turn around, and I'm going to walk according to your testimonies, according to what you're saying in your word. In the same psalm, Psalm 119 and verse 168, listen to what the psalmist writes. He said, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. In other words, the psalmist is telling us now later on the psalm, the reason why they have turned my feet towards your testimonies, away from the wrong direction, and have started to keep your precepts and your testimonies, the reason why is because my ways are before thee. In other words, God sees my ways. He sees the direction I'm going in. He knows the decisions that I'm making. He knows the destination that I'm headed for. A life wrecked, a testimony ruined, a life that never was what it could have been because I didn't go in the right direction. God knows all of that. All of my ways are right before Him. And God knows that, and God sends us warning, doesn't He? He gives us warnings. You better turn. You better turn to the wrong. You're going in the wrong direction. He does that to us personally. Sometimes God does that through a message that we hear. That is, God just confronts us, maybe in a message at church. Maybe you hear it on the radio or television. Maybe it's something that you hear in a Sunday school class. But God just speaks to you and He's saying to you, turn around. And the reason why is because our ways are before Him and He knows. God's saying, turn around. You're making the wrong decision. You're going in the wrong direction. And that's just God's moment of just causing us to examine our ways. Turn around. Because God sees that our ways are before Him. He knows where this is going to end up. If you keep going in the direction you're going in. So God speaks to us personally, doesn't He? He works in our life. Sometimes God allows circumstances in our life to shake us up and to consider the direction that we're going. Maybe it's just a difficult circumstance in our life. Maybe it's a trial. Maybe it's a physical trial, a financial trial, a trial in our relationships. Sometimes God just dries us up spiritually. And those of you that value the presence of God, sometimes God just allows us to experience some spiritual dryness so that we'll stop and say, Lord, what it is that you're trying to say to me? He's trying to move us in another direction. Sometimes you and I may not necessarily be in a sinful direction. It's just not the right direction for us. And sometimes when you and I are going in this direction for a little while, God wants to change our direction to go in another direction. So God just wakes us up to stop and consider our ways because God wants us to go in another direction. That's the way it is when you're driving down the road. You don't go in the same direction all the time, do you? Every once in a while, you got to turn and go south if you're going east. And the reason why is if you don't, you're not going to get to where you need to be. And every once in a while, you'll be going in this direction, right in the center of God's will, and God says it's time to take a little turn here. And so you have to turn. That's what happened to Philip when he was in Samaria preaching the Word of God in Acts chapter number 8. God was using him in a marvelous way. People being saved, people being healed. The glory of God had come down upon those people, and God spoke to Philip, and He said, Philip, I want you to take a turn, and I want you to go south. I want you to go down to the desert, Gaza. And he did. He just obeyed God, went in a new direction, and ended up leading the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord in Acts chapter number 8. God may want to take you in a new direction. His ways, your ways are before Him. And He wants to move you in the direction He wants you to go in. And so all of a sudden, God wakes you up. God deals with your heart. He calls you to stop and consider your ways in the direction you're going. So you can go in the right direction. That is the direction towards the will of God. That's your destination, is to be right in the center of God's will. The psalmist in Psalm 128 in verse number 1 gives us some insight here. Psalm 128 in verse number 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. Oh, the blessings come upon those who walk in His ways. God, whatever direction you're leading, I want to go. Whatever you say is right, that's what I want to do. Whatever decision that's according to your will, that's the decision I want to make. Don't you love Psalm 1? One of my favorite psalms. Listen to this. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Listen, those who are walking in the counsel of the ungodly are going in the wrong direction. Those who are walking in the counsel of the ungodly one day will find themselves standing in the way of sinners. They're not just walking, they're standing. There's a progression here. And then before long, they'll find themselves sitting in the seat of the scornful. First of all, they're walking, and then they're standing, and then they're setting a more fixed position each time. And God is saying in Psalm 1, and that is, don't do that. If you're walking in the wrong direction, then turn around and go in the right way. Because if you don't turn around and go in the right way, you'll find yourself, listen, if you keep going in the direction you are, you'll find yourself more fixed in that direction and hard to get out of it. You'll find yourself, instead of walking, sitting in a fixed position. harder to turn around. The longer that you walk in man's ways, the harder it is to turn around and walk in God's ways because of the commitments you make, because of the decisions you've made that can't be undone. So stop before you make that decision. Stop. Consider your ways. Think about where you're going to end up. Think about what's going to do your testimony. Think about how it's going to impact others. Think about how it's going to impact the message of the gospel. That's the idea. Consider your ways. Stop and look at it. If you're walking in the way of sinners, the counsel of the ungodly, if you're walking according to the advice of fallen humans that have no desire for the glory of God, you say, well, everybody said that this was the right thing to do, but who are they? Are the ones that are telling you that? Are they the ones who know the mind of God and the will of God and the Word of God? Or are they just fallen, sinful creatures that are trying to please their own flesh? Are you walking in the direction or the counsel of the ungodly? Then turn around and go in the right direction. You say, what's the right direction? The next verse in Psalm 1 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That is, walk in the direction of this book, of what the Bible says. That is not in the counsel of the ungodly, but in the counsel of this great book. And if you will, listen to me now, if you walk in the direction of that book, you will be blessed like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf never withers. You will be blessed if you'll just do that. Which way are you going to go? Man's way? The prophet Isaiah reflects on the ways of man. In Isaiah 53, listen to what he writes in verse number 6. In this great prophetic chapter, he writes, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That's right, like sheep, we've gone our own way, and the Lord laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. That is the writer here. Isaiah says that we are like sheep who've gone our own way. Now you understand that, don't you? And that is, you and I, none of us probably raise sheep, or I'm not aware of anyone who does. A couple of you have some old goats, but those who raise sheep. Now sheep will just wander off. They'll just wander off on their own. They'll just go their own way. They put their head down and they just start wandering. For a shepherd in this time period who would take their sheep out to graze them, they weren't fenced in. They were out in the open. And for a sheep to wander off would be to go in a direction that is dangerous. Wandering sheep are in danger. And the Bible says that's what we've done as human beings, and that is that we're sheep, and that is that have gone into our own way, followed our own ways. And that's considered to be bad in this verse. As a matter of fact, it's the essence of our sinfulness, isn't it? We've gone our own, we haven't gone God's way. We haven't followed the shepherd, we've just gone our own way. And the writer here tells us that's not good. And in fact, that's why Jesus had to come and die for us, is because we are like lost sheep who are separated from the shepherd, that have just gone our own way. Now that's true of our lost condition, but do you know that after you're saved, after you've been born again, that you and I are still like sheep, and Jesus is our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he's my shepherd. But listen to me now, there's the temptation even after we're saved, isn't it? Just to kind of live our life our own way. Right? I did it my own way. Live my life the way I wanted to, and went where I want. If I wanted to go, I go. If I want to do it, I do it. Whatever I want to do, that's what I do. It's my life. I'm going to live it however I want to, and I deserve to be happy anyway. And usually when we say that, it means this: I just want to please my flesh. I deserve to be happy. I'm going to do what I want to do. That is, I'm just going to live life my way. Well, this is what we're learning about here, and that is that that direction, that destination you're going to end up at is going to ruin your testimony. Listen, it may ruin your life. It's going to, listen, hinder the message of the gospel. And so the Bible is telling us here, consider your ways. Look at the direction you're going in. Hey, sheep, do you see the shepherd around? In other words, if the direction you're going in, if you're not following the shepherd, you may want to stop and turn around and find out where the shepherd is and start following him. If you don't, then here's what's going to happen, little sheep. You're going to get out far enough away that there's going to be a wolf that's going to devour you. In our case, it is a lion. I'm talking about the devil as a roaring lion who's walking around seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to devour everyone that he can. And while he may not be able, if you're saved, the devil cannot get your soul. He can destroy your life. If you get out of the center of the will of God, if you get to going in the direction that is opposite of the direction that God wants you to go in, the will of God and the purpose of God as revealed in this book, and you'll find yourself with a ruined life. A ruined testimony. So turn around, consider your ways. That's what Isaiah tells us two chapters later in Isaiah 55 and verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. God said, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. If you're going in your own way, then you need to repent and turn back to God. Forsake your way and your thoughts and return to the Lord. If you will, God will forgive you and have mercy on you. Consider your ways. Listen, if you're not going in the right way, if you're going in your own way, then repent and turn around and turn to God. That's the idea in this passage of Scripture. In Proverbs 14:12, the Bible says, is the way that seems right unto a man. But you know what the end is? Death. The end? Death and destruction. You say, I like the way I'm going, but listen to me now. You better examine your way to make sure that it's not your way, it's God's way. Your way ends in destruction. Make sure you're in the right way. Jesus had something to say about this in Matthew chapter number 7. Many of you remember these words, don't you? Jesus took this idea of which way are you going to the ultimate, and that is, he talked about your destination in eternity. Here's what he said. Matthew 7:13, he said, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. And then he said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life. And few there be that find. He said, there's two ways. There's one that's called the broad way. The broad way is the broad way because there's so many people on it. A lot of people are on the Broadway and are headed to the wide gate. The way that leads to destruction. Now the idea seems to be there is that most of humanity, a matter of fact, all of humanity with the exception of those who've been redeemed or saved, are on the Broadway headed for destruction. The way to life everlasting is a narrow way. And the gate is narrow. And the reason why it's narrow, ladies and gentlemen, is because there's few on it. There's not many. So here's what that means. And that means if you're saved, then God puts you on a new way, on a new road. He turned you around and made you a new creature, and you're on a brand new road. Now listen to me now. The broad way that you were on is going in that direction towards destruction. But the narrow way that you're now on, now that you're saved, there's not a lot of people on it, just a few, but it's going in the opposite direction. It's going the destination, eternal life. You're on a brand new way. And so here's what I want to say to you, and that is that if you're on the narrow way, if you've been born again, God saved you, you're on the narrow way, and you look over there and you see the broad way, and you see all your friends over here, and you see other family members over there, and you see your world and society over here on the broad way going in the opposite direction, they're headed towards destruction. What I want you to know is, don't try to cut over the median and get on the broad way. Don't try to act like those who are on the broad way when you're on the narrow way. Keep walking God's way. Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about losing your testimony. Talk about losing your direction. Talk about people who are saved trying to live like people who aren't. Talk about those who are redeemed trying to have values of the unredeemed. Talk about those of us that have been set aside from the world trying to be like the world. God sets you apart, redeemed you, and so stay in that way. That's the idea of this passage. You say, Pastor, I wish I knew more about how to walk in God's ways. I'm going to close by just taking you to a passage of Scripture in Acts 18. Just show you a good example of how you can walk in the ways of God. So I don't know what that means. I mean, is somewhere along the line, is God going to wake me up in the middle of night? I'm going to have a vision that shows me the way to go. I mean, is he going to perform a miracle that will reveal to me his ways? How do I know the ways of God, the way that I need to go in? If I'm going to examine my ways, how am I going to know what's the right way and the wrong way? How am I going to know what's the will of God and what is not? Acts 18, verse 24, you'll meet a wonderful man named Apollos in the Bible. This guy Apollos is not somebody that maybe you hear about a lot, and we hear a lot about Paul and Peter and some of the other apostles. But this man stands out in the New Testament as a real Bible teacher. The Bible says that there's also a couple named Aquila and Priscilla. It's not a couple that you read about or think about a lot when you think about the Bible. But I tell you that Aquila and Priscilla, they knew all about God. Listen to how this passage, these two verses unfold. Acts 18, verse 24. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, that would be Alexandria in Egypt, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This guy, listen, he knew the Old Testament very well. He came to Ephesus, and this man was instructed, listen to this, he was instructed in the way of the Lord. You say, well, how did he know about the way of the Lord? Because he was mighty in Scripture. And the Bible says, being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord. But there was a problem. The Bible says he knew only the baptism of John. John the Baptist. He had become a follower of John the Baptist apparently, and had not, listen, he had not been instructed further than that. So listen to the next verse. The Bible says in verse number 26, that he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. He went to the Jewish synagogue and he began to speak boldly, sharing what he knew from the Old Testament, whom when Aquila and Priscilla, a married couple, had heard, they took him unto them. That is, Aquila and Priscilla, the Bible says, took Apollos unto them. That is, it's like they took him under their wing, and the Bible says they expounded unto him the way of God. You see that? The way of God more perfectly. Here he is, Apollos. Now, this guy knows the Old Testament. He knows all about the message of John the Baptist. But that's where it stopped. And Aquila and Priscilla, a married couple, said, and I'm reading between the lines, Apollos, why don't you come home with us for Sunday dinner? Or in this case, Saturday dinner. Why don't you come home with us? And let's do some Bible study. And they begin to tell him all about the revelation that God has given to the New Testament apostles and to Paul in particular, because Aquila and Priscilla had spent a lot of time with Paul learning. And they set this guy down, Apollos, and they began to teach him God's word. And in so doing, the Bible says that they instructed him in the way of the Lord. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. The question for us would be, if I'm going to examine the way that I'm living, how do I do that? How do I examine the way that I'm living? How do I know what is the right way to go, the right decision to make, so I can be at the right destination? How do I know? Listen to me now. That's very simple. And that is that God has revealed it to us in His Word. And that we learn His ways by reading, by studying, and by understanding the truth that is revealed to us in the Scriptures. Now listen, that's not a one-time Bible study. That's not just sitting down and reading through the Bible in a year. What I'm talking about is you and I giving our life to learning the principles of this Word and applying them to our life so that we can walk in the ways of God. If you're saved, and don't you want to walk in the ways of God according to the will of God, all of that is revealed to us right here in this book. You'll never know the will of God. You'll never know the direction God wants you to go in. You'll never know the decisions that you need to make in given situations in your life. Listen, you'll never know even if you're on the wrong way apart from what God has revealed in this book. Not a one-time Bible study. Not a one-time reading through the Bible in a year. I'm talking about you and I giving ourselves to a life, to a lifestyle and a lifetime of listening to God's Word, of reading to God's Word, of following in God's ways. Listen, we've got people in this church, and maybe most of you that are in this room, that I'll tell you they're into the Word of God every day. Studying the book every day, reading the book every day, listening to messages every day. Some that are preached here at Eastern Gate and other faithful preachers who preach in other places, but just listening to the Word, listening to the Word, a life saturated by the Word of God. And in so doing, to try to find God's direction for our lives and insight into the Word so I can understand what it is that this book says and what it means for my life. And listen, that's the key. I won't know what direction to go in apart from the revelation of this book. Let me ask you this question. Are you ready? What way are you going in? Which direction are you going? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your Word and your people and what you're saying to us and how you're working in us. And I pray, Father, that you'll operate upon our hearts now. Those that are lost, that have never turned to Christ, that you might do that work in those individuals' hearts and draw them to yourself and save them. But Father, I pray for your people, Lord, the ones that you've saved, that God, you would help us as we examine, prove, test our ways, the way that we're living, to find out whether or not we're in the center of your will, going in the direction you want us to go in. God, speak to us, work in us, and help us, Father, to examine our ways, to consider our ways. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's all stand together. In just a moment, Brother Adam.